So go to chapter 16 of the book of Acts. We're going to pick it back up there where we left off last time. Been going through a study. I was wondering what the gurgling was. I remember now. I emptied the baptistry. I forgot. I'm thinking, man, there's something alive back there. But anyway, Acts 16, and we'll pick up with verse 16. Now, Paul and Silas have come to Philippi, and Lydia got saved, and we're not going to pick up 16. Then the little damsel that was working for the two men, doing soothsaying stuff, she was following Paul and Silas around and kind of making fun of it, more or less, is what you'd say. But she was stating the truth. She was saying, hey, these guys work for God, and they can show you how to get to heaven. And but Paul got fed up with her walking around yan-yan, and he cast a demon out of her. Now, I would say she got saved, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But so at that point, though, things change. When people start getting saved, when people start getting their life right, Satan is always going to get in and cause a problem, is he not? He is. He's going to get in there and cause a problem. And so, you know, he starts giving issues. So we go over here to verse, let me look and see. They arrested them, being Romans. And we're going to go down, we'll pick up at verse 23. And when they had laid many, well, now we need to back up. Verse 20? Yes. Thank you, Miss Betty. Says here, and brought them to the magistrates. In other words, they grabbed a hold of Silas and Paul, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. In other words, he locked them down, didn't want them to go nowhere, and they were there. I'm going to be honest with you. More than likely, what was going to happen is they were going to be killed. That's more than likely what was going to happen. And if I remember, if you're closer to the end of this, I'll tell you why I think that. But now, one thing I mentioned, when the Lord's work starts getting done, when people start getting saved, Satan's going to start hindering. Amen. He's going to bring in trouble. He's going to bring in and all of these problems, issues, because, listen, that's what you've got to do. You see, his goal is to get people not to go to heaven. You know, he wants to put a stop to that. He wants worship. And if he can put a stop to it, he'll put a stop to it. And so he was figuring, hey, by getting those two arrested, you know, why do you figure, when you get to thinking about it, how come this young damsel walked around saying this? Where is it that said that she followed him around? It said in verse 17, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, why would a demon spirit want to do that? Brag about what Paul and Silas is doing. This is what I think. I think that was Satan's way of getting them canned. Because what happened? Paul got fed up with her wandering around behind them, and he cast his eyes on her and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.
Boom. She was healed. Well, guess what? These men lost their jobs. They were making good money off of this young lady. These men lost their job, and guess where they're going now? They're going to jail and more than likely going to die. And I'll tell you why, but so I won't forget why I think they were going to die. The prison guard, the guy, the jailer that took them in there, was about to kill himself after what took place. He thought all the prisoners escaped, and he was fixing to kill himself. And the reason he was going to do that is because in their laws, if their prisoner escaped, they would face the same fate that the prisoners were. Now, there could have been some other prisoners in there that was going to die, okay? But I'm just kind of figuring they're fixing to do away with Paul and Silas. This jailer's going to kill himself. So Satan automatically says, hey, you go over there and pester them. Tell them who they are. Go over there, aggravate it. Agitate, you know. Get them thrown in jail. We're going to shut this deal down. And boy, they thought they did. Now, you might ask, why God allows things like that to happen? Why does God allow Satan to... Because nothing goes on in this world without God allowing it. Job suffered greatly. Why? God allowed it. Now, why does he allow those things? Think about that. Why does God allow Satan to intervene and to cause problems for churches, for Christian workers? Well, here's what I went to. Hang on to Acts, because we'll be back. And you can write it down or go with me. Go to Matthew 5. Verse 13. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Now, here's the verse. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And finish that for me. See, that's the whole key. Our life is not for us. It ain't to see how rich we can get. It's not to see how famous we can get if you can throw a football 100 miles an hour. That isn't what our life is for. Our life is to glorify God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. A child of God is supposed to be letting our light shine to glorify God. It's not, well, so I can keep my wife happy. It's not to raise my children. Our main purpose in life is to let our light shine and glorify our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And by glorifying God, there's a lot of things going to happen. Now, I'll tell you the story real quick. They threw them in jail, and you all know the story. They threw them in jail, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, that shouldn't have been in jail anyway, because they were Romans, and the law was you couldn't put a Roman in jail without a fair trial. They didn't have a fair trial, and you wasn't supposed to be beating them. So these guys were in big trouble. The magistrates that jumped to the conclusion and said, oh, they're Jews. They're going to jail. Why didn't Paul say, hey, you didn't put me in jail, I'm a Roman? I don't know. He didn't do that right. He went ahead and took the beating, him and Silas. And they didn't just get, oh, you bad boy. They got beat with a cat of nine tails, had glass on the end of it, flesh ripped off of them. They suffered greatly. Guess what? You're supposed to carry it all joy, right? According to the Word of God. When we suffer for Christ's sake, that should be joy to our hearts.
Amen.
So they got beat.
thrown down there in the feces and the urine because they didn't have carpet sales like we got today. Who has been to jail?
I have.
There's a few of us in here. Listen, they're nice sales. They're not bad. The bunk was a little thin, but you know. But they didn't have that. And the stocks that they were put in were to make them uncomfortable. Now, what they should have done, according to America, is they should have said, you know what? I'm taking you to court. I'm suing you. I am a Roman. You're in trouble. You just watch. I'm going to own this city. That's what we're taught all these years. You nail them, buddy. Don't you let them do you wrong. You know what Paul and Silas did? They just took it, got cast into prison, and they're down there praying, and they're down there singing. Heaven's Jubilee might have been the one they were singing. Could have been when we all get to heaven. You know, and they're down there singing and praising. What's going on? Their light's shining. This jailer's listening to this. What, you know what he expected was cussing and just, you sorry dog, and you wait, if I can get out of these stocks, I'll kill you. You just wait. But their light was shining. That's what we're supposed to, that's why God allows persecution, trials, troubles, all of these things to come into our life. And if we'll do what we're supposed to do, if we'll give it all to Jesus and let our light so shine before men, it'll glorify God in heaven. Amen? And that's what it's supposed to be about anyway. You see, it gets your attention when somebody is like that and they're not, oh me, oh me. You know, I told you about my buddy Doug Graff, his mom, dying of cancer in Indiana. Listen, when I went to see her the last time I saw her alive, she didn't complain about having cancer. She didn't... I'm just dying. I'm hurting. Somebody do something for me. I need more pills and all that. No, she didn't do none of that. She'd bring me some Indiana moonshine. She wasn't asking for none of that. You know what her main thing was? She said, I want people to see Christ in me because I want them to get saved. Yes. She said, my biggest worry is leaving my family here that ain't saved. She wasn't complaining about how bad she felt. Done lost all her hair. She went through all them treatments, puking and whatever else goes along with it, not feeling good. But she didn't complain, not one time. She said, the biggest thing that troubles me is my children, my loved ones, that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And she said, this is what I want done. She said, make sure this happens. She said, I don't want no funeral. You put me up front in the casket, that's fine. She said, but you tell my pastor to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what, we went to the funeral. But he preached the Word of God. He didn't preach about she was dead and gone. He preached the Word. He said, hey, she's alive. Amen. Listen, she was alive then more than she was when she was walking around on the face of this earth.
Amen.
She was giving the glory to God, and there's people that saw that, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. You see, he's supposed to be getting the glory, not us. Not us sitting back whining about it. You know, the devil, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil blinds the eyes of everybody out here, all these lost people. If our light ain't shining, which according to that passage of Scripture, we have that vessel inside of us. We're supposed to be letting it shine. Sometimes we need to clean the windows, though. Amen? You know, we all get there. I have a friend of mine preached a sermon on the... And I'm going to look at... I'm going to study on that one day. But he preached a sermon on dirty windows. You know, we need to clean the windows. People need to see that light shining. Because we need to glorify God. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So people will see Christ working in our life. And they'll want what we got. That's why the jailer come in there and fell down at their feet. The earthquake took place and the chains fell off. And the jailer said, uh-oh. And he took his sword out to kill himself.
And Paul says, whoa, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And he says, the jailer come in there trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? Hey, he called him, sir, what must I do to be saved? Earlier, he had beat them with a whip like they were a bunch of dogs. And now he's calling them, sir, what must I do to be saved? Oh, we got to read some more, though. There's a lot happened there. Acts chapter 16. It's somewhere in there. Acts 16. And we done went through all of that. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30. Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Oh, let me answer something for you. The jailer got saved, his whole house was saved. Nah, that ain't what that said at all. The jailer got saved. Let me tell you something. When a dad gets his life right, this is a good Father's Day sermon. But when a dad gets his life right, when a dad is serving God the way a dad's supposed to be serving God, treating his wife the way a husband is supposed to treat his wife, I'm going to tell you something. The entire family notices, they take notice of what's going on, and guess what? They want what dad's got. That's exactly right. I've seen it time and time again. You can have a mom dragging her kid. You know, I was one of them drug kids. I drug here and drug there, drug the church, drug. They dragging them into church and the kids are fighting and pitching to fit. I don't want to go to church. And dad just shows up at church one day. And boy, the Holy Spirit convicts him and boom, he gets saved. And it's like 180 degree all the way around. Kids ain't fighting with mom no more. Dad says, hey, we're going to church Sunday from now on. Life changes when a dad gets their life right. Listen, when this jailer got home, he packed these two guys up, by the way, that he had beat. He got saved. He had beat these guys before that. He packs them up, takes them home, and when he walked in the door, his wife, I promise you, she said, something different about him. You know, he probably walked in the door, hey, Had, get over here. On a norm, whop! Knocked the kid upside the head. Get out of my face. I mean, he couldn't have had a very good attitude. He beat people all the time. Locked them up down in these jails all the time. He couldn't have been a really nice guy. He walks in the door, oh, honey, and hugged her. And everything's checked. Oh, listen, let me tell you what happened to me. Oh, well, who are these two guys? A bunch of criminals you're bringing home. Oh, no, these are preachers. These guys told me about Jesus Christ and how to have eternal life. That's how they got saved. And they all got baptized. And guess what? After that, he washed their stripes. And he fed them. When a person truly gets saved, there's a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. They're changed. They're no longer what they were. That's a blessing. We know that because the Bible tells us that. Not only that, we know that from our own lives. We know the change that took place in our life. It's real easy. You know, the things I did before, I would still do them. But I got that sick feeling about doing them. You know, when I got saved, boy, it was a guy named Ted I worked with. Pandex out on Corpus, out on South Padre Island in Florida. I mean, in Texas. Let's go get a beer. Sure. And then I'd say, sure. It was like, I don't need to do that. Then I got to make up some kind of excuse because I don't need to be doing that. Let's go down to the bar, man. Let's look at the girls on the beach out here at South Montreal.
Because see, they're just like men on South Padre Island. They can go topless. And some of them do. That ain't right. I felt bad about that kind of stuff. Before that, it didn't bother me. Because there was a change. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know your heart. God does. If you ain't got a change in your heart, but you say, I'm saved, I know. But if you didn't have a change in your heart about this, if that kind of stuff that you used to do don't bother you, you need to get that right. I'll just be right up front with you. You need to get saved. Amen. There ain't no other way around it. Maybe you say, well, you know I got saved and I know it's wrong. But, you know, like this morning, I ain't crossing Jordan. I'm going to stay on the east side of Jordan. That ain't right. You missed the blessings. You know how happy Paul and Silas were laying there bleeding? Rats probably licking on them and chewing on loose skin. Think about that. Urine burning in their cuts, worrying about getting infection. Nah, they're just singing praises to God. But boy, how happy they were when that one guy got saved. Amen. And then his whole family got saved. Amen. Because their light was shining. Listen, we need to be letting our light shine. If you're on the east side of Jordan, you can't let your light shine. Amen. It ain't shining because you ain't in obedience to God. You're wandering around out there still in the wilderness. Let's stand. We're going to have a invitation. I'm going to get Sister Judy to come up and play Amazing Grace, please.